You're listening to the Indie Film Scene with your hosts, Renelle Golden and Desiree Velez.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, where we cover everything from script to screen. I'm Renelle Golden.
And I'm Desi Velez. Well, good morning, Renelle.
Hi, Desi. Today we're joined by Joan Jones. She is a makeup artist and special effects artist. Yes, and what a great name she has. It's like a rock star name. So welcome to the show,
she
Joan.
She is a rock star. Thank you very much. You have to marry that name. I promise my parents did not lack imagination.
Oh.
Well, you know what's really cool about this, Renelle? If you look on her IMDb, she's listed as Joan Jones the Third.
Yes.
Which, you know, normally you see that with guys.
There's more than one of you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. Okay.
But I am definitely the special one, so.
Yes, you are. You are. And what great projects you have worked on. Oh, my goodness. So tell us a little bit about how you got into makeup artistry. And then your special effects makeup, I've looked at your catalog. It's outstanding. It's really good.
Thank you
so tell us
so
what
much.
Took you in there.
So
you're welcome.
My story is very unusual. I'm not your typical person that just kind of was an artist or anything growing up. I did computer drafting, as a matter of fact, for civil engineering
for
30 years. Yeah, and I have an older sister, and she took a makeup class, and I thought, what a cool idea. I didn't want to just be cool by association, so I took Von Lee 40-hour credited local course here in Baltimore, and then went to the first movie set I could find and interned. Quit at 50. This is everything I never knew I always wanted to be.
Oh,
and you never know what's going to happen.
That is so awesome.
It is.
Oh, wow.
And I met Desi not too long after I started in the movie business. I think our first film together was One Penny, right? Yeah, One Penny. And she made me look outstanding. And I said, I got to take home girl's number and never lose it.
Yes,
oh, wow.
Because I will tell you this, Joan. I am so glad you're here because one of the people that get the least amount of attention, except if it's a major budget film, Academy Awards and all that, is the makeup department. And the makeup department is the one
critical thing
that a lot of indie filmmakers will skimp on. And it angers me to no end because they create the flawlessness and the continuity that you need for your film.
A lot of indie filmmakers
will not even put makeup on men. And I'm like, no, everyone has to have it.
Men?
Yes, they do. Because the lights drown you out.
And the small
details
make characters believable. Like you really believe that they were in a Western or a period piece, or you really believe that they've been beaten to a pulp. Whatever the story you're trying to bring, it's like a full character. That's what I try to bring to the makeup. I try to pay attention to all the details.
The details. Well, I'm bringing the makeup, and I started as an indie filmmaker, and then I've sort of been transitioning. And I started my career late as well, just like you did in this industry. And but the thing is that Desi's right. We skimped on that area, but what I learned is that's one area you don't skimp on because it helps that character gain its authenticity by looking the part from, outside in. And so what they're portraying, that makeup's like the final painting on our characters. And I learned that. And then, that was like my second or third project. And I'm like, I'm never going without one again. And so we've always had them. But the thing is, one of the things that I've noticed as we're looking at possibly working out of state now, there's a big range in not only the rates people pay, but you know, the quality. And I'm just dying to work with you, Joan. So I'm hoping we can make that happen.
Well, you know, and that quality, I want all the indie filmmakers that are listening to me right now to understand this, that when you go to sell your project and they look at this, they look at everything, lighting, sound, dressing, mm-hmm. continuity, and makeup. Because if they see one person drastically contrast everybody else, it doesn't look good. And they're going to think, okay, we have another basement filmmaker, and you're going to get mm-hmm. passed by. Because a lot of times, if someone doesn't have the budget, they'll lead their own actors to do their own makeup. And I will tell you, some people do not know how to do makeup.
And you need someone like Joan. I can't see my face. But go ahead. Did you finish your question?
No, I was just saying it's a dead giveaway, you know, if you don't have someone who knows what they're doing in the makeup department.
Right. Yeah, it is.
And it's not just the pretty things, because Desi knows from working with me where her character in our first film together was a very attractive woman, and she is a very attractive woman, but the rest of the cast was homeless. So, you know, between wardrobe and makeup, making them look authentic and making, you know, down to the fingernails. I mean, Desi has seen my attention to detail. And so it spans, and she's so right. It really sells the story if the characters are believable. And I feel like the actors that I know, when they really are feeling that person inside, and they don't have to worry about what they look like because they already are feeling it, then they can just go out and
they become them. Yeah, it's true. So what is your process once you get brought on a film to prepare? Do you have like a process? Let's say it's everyday makeup, it's not, you know, special effects, because I'm sure that's a process all by itself, but do you have one? How do you get ready when it's time?
You know, I have been fortunate to have had some mentors in my life that have been the greatest. And I've worked on some big films, and I've worked on miniseries. So I've learned from the best, and catalog. I can't say it enough. Continuity is everything. So as I read a story and I highlight each individual character, the nuances of what they're doing, maybe some backstory. I would just take, for instance, somebody that maybe was a cook or a chef or something like that. Perhaps they had a scar on their arm where they burned themselves. You know, just bring that character. Maybe they cut their finger or something. You know, bring all of the little things that happen when they're cooking, because they'll say, oh, and the plate dropped. Well, maybe they nicked some, you know. So to me, those things are how I build the character, and then making sure continuity, because that's, like you were saying before, what sells it. If you're filming over a week, a weekend, several weekends, and you don't look the same in every shot, you know, I believe somebody really, really wise said you can't fix bad filming and editing. Renelle, wasn't that you?
I probably said that because we're getting ready to redo something pretty big, and that's why. So.
Yeah, you can't fix
things. You know, Joan, looking at your filmography, you have an amazing range, and I'm going to throw a few out here as an example. So you can explain the difference in the makeup, because there's going to be, for example, you were the makeup department head on the recent film, What Death Leaves Behind, which started off as an indie film and actually got a huge following at Sundance, and the rest is history. So you had to do Johnny Alonzo and Aaron on this. They were pretty dark characters. So we're going to use that. And then you also worked on Connie Lamont's The Driver, which is total opposite from druggy characters mm-hmm. to Italian mobster. And then the last one I want to do would be something, for example, maybe Copycat Killers or maybe a vampire thing. So if you can explain those three and what you had to go through to get those characters.
Well, the first film, which you just gave me goosebumps, just I love this film, What Death Leaves Behind. Just a tremendous, tremendous cast. So all of that being said, the Johnny Alonso and Erin O'Brien characters are very deep and dark, sinister even. And I, you know, when I read these things, it's not really what my vision is. It's more about what the writer and the creator envisions. So I tend to be a little bit of a pain, in my own opinion, when it comes to connecting with the writer about what they think they see when that happens, so that I can make it as impactful as it is in writing. Because what you see visually, sometimes it takes away from the writing, and the writing is the main thing. The visual is like the icing and the additives for me. So when I was looking at, especially Erin, she, I don't know if you guys know her personally, stunning, gorgeous woman, just beautiful. But I just saw her. Yeah, and I didn't like to unmake her. One of my favorite pictures is the two of us sitting in a basement, catching a little behind the scenes where I'm making her look bad. But that was her character. It was really, really dark. And Johnny and her together. So, and Johnny was an overhaul in that he plays a rocker really well because that's his lifestyle. But we added tattoos. we changed his hair up. I mean, we just kind of brought him out really to another level. And that demon feel, that's all him. And when it comes to Erin, I mean, the makeup is great, but I mean, that feeling that comes out, that makes that character believable. It's an incredible journey that way. So that's what happened.
And I think, didn't you have to do a brain or something like that for this as well?
The kidney. The movie was originally called The Kidney. It was about a kidney transplant.
It was based on a true story that writer or director's cousin had a kidney transplant, and it's been found that some transplants, you will then begin to have flashes of memory from the person that body part belongs to. Isn't that creepy?
I feel bad if anyone got any of my body parts. Oh my God.
You know, I did just organ donate when I got my driver's license.
Oh, great. That's good to know.
Can you Joan had to go from creating these two distinctive characters and then a kidney, an actual kidney.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow, that's so awesome.
Yeah, we did dialysis scenes. We did surgical scenes. That movie really gave me a wide latitude of, you know, for me, it's so much fun to create those things. It really, that's my sweet spot. I had no idea that the fabricating and creating and applying all these gross, gory things would be my favorite thing ever. So,
do you prefer that, like the special effects kind of stuff, to the regular makeup? Do you have a preference, or you just really got into it because the story?
Yeah, well, it's both. I do tend to lean towards the special effects. I feel like it's a lot more creativity goes into that. I do TV. I have two TV shows that I do. You know, Desi, when you were asking about a range, so I do that. I also won Mrs. D.C. District of Columbia pageant down at the Kennedy Center last year. So I don't do brides typically. I've done a few, but I do pageant makeup as well when it needs to happen. So I do enjoy all facets of makeup from one extreme to the other. And even the everyday cast makeup, sometimes people don't realize how natural looking looks in good lighting. So all kinds of makeup. There's always something. And then there's always a challenge, whether it's somebody with, you always have to worry about allergies or people that maybe just have preferences, whether it's animal cruelty, animal-free products. You have to make sure you're always
right.
carrying.
But you have a lot of prep work when you're getting ready, don't you? Like with
yes.
not just with like the director or the writer, you have to talk to the individual talent before they show up, I guess, to,
I definitely
you know, to,
do.
Yeah.
You
wow.
Definitely need
hey, and not only that, she's had to work under all different conditions. I mean, there are some times when she's in a nice trailer and you just have to open the door and go stepping up so that they make sure they don't poke you in the eye as somebody is mounting the trailer. And then other
yes.
times this poor thing has been thrown in a tent. They have to set up a tent outdoors like a circus. And we're trying to change in the tent and they're holding up towels so no one can see you.
Oh, my
and
God.
And we're sweaty. And then she tries to do the best she can with the makeup
those
on that.
Really,
it's a challenge.
Those are the most fun, though.
Oh, my
you know,
gosh.
Those make the most memories when it's the middle. You know, they don't typically murder people during the day. So the crime shows, a lot of those murders happen at night. And that's kind
oh,
of,
wow.
it's kind of fun, right, Des? I mean, when you, you
it
have
is,
to come up
is.
In a clutch and you have to make it work and happen. And teamwork makes the dream work. So you have to be willing to do what it takes. It certainly
absolutely.
Is nice to be in an air-conditioned trailer. But
so how was that?
I don't
Joan,
have those on my set.
The
they're outside now.
How, Joan, how was doing the driver's makeup? Versus, okay, so we know with copycat killers, that's a crime scene, but how was the driver for you?
So fun. Another great cast. And again, you know, I get into, like, what the mob wives are going to look like. And I get into the guys. We had one actor that had dark hair, and they wanted him to have, you know, like a little funky gray sideburn. I don't know if anyone watched The Sopranos, but we did the Pauly, you know,
oh,
and
yeah,
we
yeah.
colored his hair. Yeah, and we created a little different, edgier look to him, you know, that kind of fit the character better. The same with Brian Augustine. I mean, everybody, you know, they bring their A game. The makeup, everyone thinks is simple. It is for the most part, but you have to keep on it. You know, these guys are out there working in the sun. It's hot. You know, they may want it to look like fall, but it's 90 degrees outside, or they may want it to look like summer, and it's 4
oh my
degrees
God.
Outside. So the
and, you know, it's a little hard on you when you're trying to bump somebody off in the winter versus bumping somebody off in the summer.
Cold.
And the
I can't even do the
on you and you gotta look good.
Oh my God. I'm
but
talking to
so
a bunch
true.
Of mafioso females. The real bosses.
I imagine Joan had to do a lot of attitude adjustments on that set. Just a few.
Oh my God.
Just a few.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a client? I've had this happen on one of my sets, but you know, a well known talent comes in or fairly and you do their makeup and they hate it and they just want it done over or something. Have you ever had one of those experiences and how did you handle it if you did?
Yeah. You know, generally once I had that horrific experience, what I learned from that is to go in with a little bit of a cooperating spirit and find out what people are comfortable in. Again, you know, I said this before, I don't want whoever the talent is to worry about what I did makeup-wise. I want them to know that it's perfect and spot on so that they don't worry about that and they can give their best performance. So I'll
yeah.
talk to them
yeah.
about color schemes. We'll decide, you know, whether they're going to be in the cool range or the warm range. What is their go-to color when they want to get dressed up? And you
so
know,
they have some say in it. They feel better, basically.
Yes. And even
okay.
when I try, usually if you open the door, then you can kind of, I don't want to say manipulate. I want to say steer. Because
yes.
perhaps
yeah.
Alex, the character is going to be a lot more flamboyant than the person. So
right,
you stay within
right.
their comfort range, but you, like, bring it to a completely different level that they might not have gone to. But knowing their
their likes and dislikes, that allows me to at least get in the warm tones or the cool tones or something to go on, you know. But it's important
right.
that they're happy. I had another experience where the talent was extremely happy, and there were several people in the room. It was a big commercial, Christiana Healthcare commercial, and the makeup on film just looked awful. And that is the worst sinking feeling because you can't fix either. And I don't know.
Was that the issue?
I just had a bad call that day. I thought she looked great. I was in there when she was actually filming. So were the producers, the client, wardrobe. Everybody was in there when we were filming, and it looked good at the time. But in post, and of course, it came back to me. And very disappointing, but, you know, it happens. And you just have to do your best. And not everybody.
You just grow from it, I guess. Yeah.
And not everyone's going to like what you do, and not everyone's going to like you. But I feel like if you don't keep, you know, people criticize a lot, and everyone's got to learn this on Facebook and social media. Everybody's got an opinion, but not everyone puts themselves out there. And the talent, especially
right.
the actors, I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm extremely shy. The fact that we're doing this on the phone was a godsend for me. I don't like
it. It was. I can tell you. She kept messaging
me.
Okay,
well, we're going to bring you in next time. No, I'm just kidding.
Right,
I'm the same way. I'm not a people person. I like to stay in my corner. So
how many selfies do you see me post? You never see me. Even in cast pictures. I'm not in any of the One Penny pictures. I'm not in any of the
where. Well, I got a picture of you, but I snuck it really fast, and it was the three of us ladies,
you mean,
and it
Kelly
was a selfie. So
picture. I love that picture.
That was a great
Kelly.
Pic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We had three power women. We had a makeup woman. We had a woman behind the camera. And then
awesome.
We, who actually, you know, has gone on to do more things in L.A. as an actual filmographer. Like, she's a camera person. Which
and
is hard to get into for women.
Amazing set design, too.
Right.
I probably need to get her name because I'm sure I will need that eventually. One of my dreams is to do a film with all women, not in the cast necessarily, but, you know, behind the camera, in the editing suite, just, you know, just full
of
girl
power.
Joan
can hook you up with her information.
Yeah.
I have her on Facebook, but I haven't seen her.
She hooked me up with the funding.
Well,
oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so hard. It's
but
just,
you know,
like, okay.
I encourage everyone to go on your IMDb because, again, the people that we are having on this show, although they are in the indie world, are in the indie world that has succeeded. That is actually been on projects that have gotten them onto IMDb with credit and have gone into. You've done a number of television series on here, a number of films, just all kinds of stuff. And the series I know are hard because you're doing a different episode each week, and you know sometimes you're hired for one episode, and then you've got to figure out what their style is. And other times it's multiple episodes. So you have to be a lot more on your feet, don't you, than a regular film?
Yes, exactly. Even like the miniseries, I did Making of the Mob and The American West for Stephen David Productions. And, you know, those are 8 and 10 episode miniseries. So that's a long period of time to keep. That's why I was saying earlier, continuity is everything. Photos, take pictures, continuity. Because stepping in is a big job. You know?
Yeah.
Especially if, you, like you said before, if you're only hired for one episode, you really need to study what the other people have done so that you can keep it in tune. You don't want it to look dramatically different just on one day, you know, because that'll look ridiculous, obviously.
So what advice would you share with somebody wanting to get into this industry?
You know, what would you tell them, how to start, what to be aware of, you know, any advice you'd like to share?
Actually, yeah, because I wish someone would have shared this with me. First off, I think that the basic school I went to, again, I went to just Avonlea, a 40-hour class to teach you kind of the basics was very, very important. But more important than that is finding people that you can work with, that you can learn from. Absorbing from better artists and more matured, experienced artists. I interned, I paid my dues. You know, you have to work your way up, and don't be afraid to jump in with both feet. I think we as women intimidate each other instead of encourage each other. So I encourage them to find another artist, intern under somebody, and really soak up what they do and how they do it, because those tips are invaluable. What I've learned from
that is good advice.
Two other women in particular, I take with me every single day, and I thank them every time I come across a crisis or a problem. I always know what to do, and I always thank them because they gave me the tools. The other
well, you want to mention them? Give them a shout out?
Actually, I would love to. Amy Wadford, who is currently Makeup on the Blacklist, I believe. Making of the Mob with her. And the American West for Stephen David Productions, and also Denise Hubbard, who I worked my very, very first film I worked with her, I interned. I don't think I'm allowed to mention the film because I don't think it was ever brought to light, but Denise Hubbard, she does a lot of Fashion Week New York. She's New York located, and her too. Just huge kudos to both of those women. And the last thing I would say, I hate to bring this up, but with COVID being such a big deal right now, I've always been clean, 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 clean. Double
yeah.
Just stay on top. Even as I go in, I have a TV show that we film several episodes with guests. I'm separating out just dedicated brush sets, you know, to each customer. So there's no cross-contamination. Just be safe, be prudent, and let's get back to work because I think everybody's ready. I know I am.
Oh, my gosh. I know I am. Pretty sure Desi is.
Oh, we are. You know, and it's funny. We were just talking about this because I'll be honest, I'm having a very difficult time, and I think most people in the industry I've noticed who you think have it all together, and this is all the way from, you know, lower level up to A-listers, are having a difficult time, and you know, they've been going off social media altogether. They've been holding classes, conferences, they've been meditating, they've been doing yoga, just everything to stay sane. Because we're a very creative group of people, and when we can't create, our self-value and worth seems to go down because our passion is what we do. So
yeah,
what are
I
you
can't,
doing
true.
To keep sane right now, Joan? What are your tricks?
Well, I could not agree with you more, and I am struggling myself. It's funny that we're talking about this right now because, you know, a couple hours ago, you know, weird things go through your mind when you're left to your own devices. Personally,
so
I'm
true.
Lucky that I can create like just all kinds of random things. I know that I have a couple of feature films in the making, I'm hoping, so I can sculpt and create and work towards you know, other character creations. I'm working on a guy that gets his face ripped off. So, you know, I do have a little bit of creative outlet, but the fact that we don't know when anything is going to happen anymore, it's like the whole world came to an end. There were so many, many projects on tap for March and April and May and June, and now, you know, everybody's looking at January of 2021 and late summer.
Yeah.
I hope
it's
we
overwhelming.
Manage to- Jesus, it is. We have
it
to.
Is. We had a big year lined up. You know, with Empath, and I had started this new production company with my son for features we've written, and like we were going to make two features this year, and you know, we got the proof of concept done on Empath, and then boom, COVID hits, and you know, then you're dealing with shaky investors, because while they were ready to go, COVID sort of, you know, it rocked the boat. Like, well, do we take this leap or not? Because how long is this going to last? And so it's been a lot of regrouping. And now we're so many months in that it's like, even I'm busier than ever when it first started. And I didn't mind being locked in my house working, because I'm a writer mostly. But now I've hit that point where it's like, I don't know how much more I can take, because I do need to be productive. I need to have a goal and a purpose to, you know, get up each morning. So I'm going nuts.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh.
And I think you'll find Joan. Joan, this is pretty much what spurred going back and reactivating and starting the Blog Talk Radio for Indie Film Scene again.
It
so
is.
That at least in this downtime, we can converse. We can, you know, expose people who have experience to those that are just starting out or might be stuck in something. Spread the word about ourselves. Rinelle and
yeah.
I decided to, you know, co-write a monologue book for actors, and she'll probably throw some scenes in there from stuff that she's written, so that when the floodgates open again, there'll be another resource for actors to go to you know, have monologues, you know, or scenes to
and
work
just,
on.
And just having that little bit of purpose has been a big help, but it's still not quite enough, but it's been a big
right.
help, knowing we're going to do this show, or, you know, knowing we have some things to work on for the book and stuff. But it's,
well, this
yeah, I'm a little stir crazy.
This has just personally really helped me, just in what Desi was just saying, because I know that I am struggling as she is, and I feel like I'm out here all alone struggling. And knowing that you're not is comforting. It's helpful.
True. It is
it's
comforting.
Helpful.
And, you know,
it
and to
true.
Be honest,
to share
it's the
struggle.
Financial
yeah.
stress, because when we're working, we're doing well.
Right.
But, you know, I have very close friends in Broadway, and they don't know when the theaters are going to open. It might
yeah.
even be take longer than film. Because you
right.
can't social distance people in a musical on stage. They're
right.
they're spitting saliva
you
all
can.
Over each other, projecting and singing and sweating and lifting and turning. So there, and it's a very scary time, because as we know, that extra 600 the government doesn't seem to be willing to extend with the unemployment. And meanwhile, states that started to open are shutting down again. So
yeah.
you have that element added into everything else. So the most that we can do is actually be here for each other and do things like this, let each other know we're all in the same boat, we're all together, and
it
hopefully we're going to get through it. It's just going to take some time.
Yeah, we'll
yeah,
persevere. There's doubt in that, but it is nice to have the camaraderie of good friends, which, Desi, I've known you a long time now, and new friends for now. It is helpful. It is. It just helped me. So I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, because it was helpful.
So,
very much so.
Before we wrap up, though, let's make sure everybody knows who you are, how to reach you, any links you want to share. They'll be up on a graphic, but it's always good to say it out loud as well, in case someone's not looking at the webpage, they're just listening. So let's hear all your links.
Okay, so I am Media Makeup For You. That's the number 4 and the letter U, Media Makeup For You. www.mediamakeupforyou.com for links to my IMDb page, all of my videos. You can see short videos on beauty makeup, special effects makeup, character creation makeup. So it's pretty much all right there. Hope you call
that's
perfect.
Your YouTube? That's your YouTube, right?
It's got YouTube.
You have a YouTube one.
Instagram. Yes. I don't have the... not exactly. I'd have to look at the link to
give
you the link.
Oh, well, even if
don't worry, we'll find it.
They'll find you. Yeah,
YouTube,
they can find you by your name as well.
Exactly. I think that's what it's under. Instagram is Media Makeup For You. Facebook, I kind of share my personal and my Media Makeup For You page, but also right there. IMDb is Joan Jones 3. That's I surprised how many Joan Joneses there are, but I don't want to get confused or take credit for someone else's work. So.
Fair enough, right?
Well, I love the third. I love the third. It gives you kind of like a royalty kind of title.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, just the
Queen of
Jones,
Rock and Roll.
I mean, that's opened up so many doors. I opened my letter with it's Joan Jones. It really is, because people ask me all the time. So I'm a very lucky person. I get to do what I love, and I have great support and good friends to do it with, so I couldn't be happier.
Do you have any shout outs or projects upcoming that you maybe want to share before we say our goodbyes?
You know, unfortunately, I really don't. Everything is, as we were saying before, on hold. I don't have anything coming up until January of 2021, as far as I know. That's a story called Tethered, but more to come on that. So keep our fingers crossed.
We're
going
to have to all work on that.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes. I'm dreaming
hey,
of working
all
in September.
Same,
let's see. Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm ready to get off the boat. No more.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm ready to get on some solid ground myself.
Yeah. It's time. It's time. It's coming. I'm thinking positive. Right now, in an hour, it might not
look,
be. But
you know what? My inert fear is the floodgates opening and me having nothing lined up. So, if you need anyone that's my type, please pass my name along.
There you go.
Desi's available to act in your films, and we have Joan here. She's ready to do your makeup. Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, and if you need a writer or crazy person on set, I mean, I could come, yeah.
Three of us are going to make some magic in the future.
Hire us as a three-for-one group.
Yeah,
we're
the
whole unit here.
Misketeers or something.
I see the three of us making magic in the future.
Yes,
absolutely.
That's the plan. Movie magic for us all. So on that note, we're going to let you go, and we just really appreciate you coming to the show. We hope you'll come back and join
Thank
us again.
So
absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming, because we're hoping to release these next month, and we're just picking the best people, and we're really glad we had you on set. So, on set.
Thank you
so you can
so
tell
much.
I'm a director.
Yes.
All right, Joni,
yes,
I love you
will.
So much. Keep your head up. You're going to be
too,
in demand
yes,
soon.
Please. I'm sending big hugs your way, and Renelle, hugs your way, too, because I'm a hugger.
Right back at you. Now it's elbow bumps, but all right. Have a great, great rest of your day. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm Renelle Golden.
And I'm Desi Velez.
Thank you for listening. This is Indie Film Scene, where we take you from script to screen.
You've been listening to Indie Film Scene. Tune in next time for more exciting conversations with filmmakers taking you from script to screen.